Ladies and gentlemen, we are live, episode 126, interviews with everyday people with Take the Name, joined by Tyler Kern. Very, very excited to have you here, Tyler. Let's get into housekeeping real quick. If you are watching this, or you're listening back later, welcome to the IWEP Network. We're a collection of podcasts that range from interviews like you're seeing here, one-on-one with myself, the host, Anthony Blackwell, as well as Truth Behind Illusions on there, Tornado Tag Podcast, Banging Beers, and so many more. We do a little something for everybody, so head over to iwepnetwork.com. You can follow us on all social media, any podcast that you may be into, as well as there's merchandise. You can check out our cool sponsors and check out the back catalog. We do have a Patreon that ranges from $1 to $25. So if you want to support the podcast, we want to thank the people who do so. Ryan Vex from Outbreak Wrestling, David S, Brett Squared, Bridget M, Andrew H, Greg R, Heidi B, Ryan G, Kelly, Tommy B, Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Brad Z, Higher Than the Words, and JH. All right, all of housekeeping out of the way. How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. Thank you so much for having me on tonight. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, so we were supposed to do the full band on Monday, but I had some stuff come up in my personal life. I unfortunately could not do the live show. Hopefully that doesn't affect our viewership tonight, but if not, I'm sure people will share this out and they'll see it at some point in time. We usually are live every Monday with this show, so people can check out future ones. But yeah, we talk a lot to small business people that just have stories. General conversations are musicians or artists, so this is a lot of fun. So you're part of the band. You're the singer of the band Take the Name.
Yes.
So how did Take the Name come about?
So for anybody that's on here, I don't know if anybody knows the story, but we used to be called Violet Nines, if anybody's heard of that before. And up until last year, I think in like May or so, it's been about a year, another band hit us with a cease and desist to change our band name. So we had some legality things going back and forth with that. They weren't budging with anything of letting us keep the name, so we were like, you know what, keep it, we'll be called Take the Name. So
yeah,
that is how Take the Name has formulated and like has gone for the future. But we've started in like 2018, like making singles and whatnot, but things really started to really click more recently.
Yeah, well, that's inspiring for me right off the bat, because, you know, doing this for a couple of on my fourth year, and you guys been grinding since 2018, and you're saying now it's up until 2022 where the band's really finding their stride. So that goes to show out there, man. Stay patient, stay with your craft, and it'll happen.
No, absolutely. I'm also the only original member of the band too. We've had, you know, lineup changes throughout the years, and like everything happens for a reason. But the lineup that we have now, that we've solidified, this is it. So
awesome. So you want to tell us the other band members' names while we're here?
Yeah. Oh, I don't remember. No, I'm just kidding. So our drummer's name is Keith. Our bass player's name is Nick. And our guitarist's name is Josh. Our guitarist actually just recently joined our band. We parted ways with our previous guitarist back in February. But Josh is our new guy, and he's here to stay. So we cannot wait for the future.
Now, are you bass player and guitar? Singer or just singer?
I mean, I can play guitar and like I help with the writing and stuff with the music, but like performance wise, I only sing.
Interesting. So you're just essentially a two piece band.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But, yeah. Yeah. Cause Keith does drums and then like Nick does bass and Josh guitar, but I'll just sing. But
yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. There's another member I missed. I apologize. You're a three piece band with three piece with a singer. Yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah. Sorry about that.
No, you're fine.
It's been a long day at work.
Yeah.
What would you say your style of your band is?
So I think overall, like it varies. Our music has like different songs have a different taste. Like there's some that are more on the rock spectrum, like Succubus, that song has been on SiriusXM Octane. Our song Changing Plans, that song is more like just radio rock, and that song has Kellen Quinn from Sleeping with Sirens on it. And then we have our previous single, Save Myself from Myself, is like straight into like the pop punk kind of vibes, more like the edgy, like people have said, more like Day to Remember and like Stan Atlantic kind of vibes. And we have a song called Low that's coming out on this Friday, and that one has like the edgy emo punk to it. So it varies. I like it all sounds cohesive at like the end of the day though.
What is the overall age of your band? Like how old are you guys?
So I'm 26. Nick is 25. I believe Josh is 25 as well, and Keith is 29, I think.
Yeah, so I'm a little older. I'm 35, but your band reminds me a lot of my youth, obviously, with the emo pop punk style thing. I'm super into it. I like it a lot. I really wish, like, so I kind of had it playing on the past couple of days, just like Alexa play, and then I had it go. Let's make sure it didn't start.
Me too.
Yeah. So yeah, I had a bunch going. I wish I could like retain some of the lyrics. I have to go back and listen again, but there's a lot of like really, really powerful lyrics in this, like either heartbreak or going through some struggles that, you know, a lot of like, I believe I'm trying to remember the song. If you know what I'm coming at, like, let me know, but where you kind of struggle about your insecurities and saying them out loud, but then people use your insecurities against you, and that's why a lot of people shelter up and they don't open up to people. In a gist, that's kind of what I got from the song.
I'm trying to think which
it was just kind of on shuffle. It was like a shuffle of all your music.
Okay, I'd like to know what vocal line you'd had that you, because like typically it, like
the overall gist of the lyric was like opening up to somebody and then like essentially them not accepting you for who you are by opening up.
Yeah, I've touched on that topic multiple times. I wonder which one it is that
you
dove into, but I appreciate you like finding your own like ways with what the lyrics and what it means to you. Cause like what I, you know, what I write about is what I go through essentially. And I can put myself into somebody else's shoes and write about how I think they perceive things. But, you know, like the last EP that we did, For What It's Worth, it has a very like huge theme of like heartbreak and getting to new levels of your life and like overcoming things. And like, it's crazy. You write something at a period of time and then like it comes back to you in the future and you relate to it again. And like, I'm like rediscovering our album and like going through it again. And like, I've been through a lot, you know, in the past few months too. So the new material has a lot of, you know, things about how I feel and everything. So,
yeah, I'm very lyrically driven. Obviously a band helps, and your band is fantastic. Everybody on every instrument is unbelievable from all generations of the band, but, the lyrics are definitely powerful and a huge reason why I fell in love with emo music to begin with. Like all emo music is you fall in love with a girl that's probably out of your league, and then she wants nothing to do with you, or she gives you a chance and then leaves you anyway. You know,
that's really funny. Yeah. That you say that. That's hilarious.
and then usually emo girls they want an emo guy. So it's always just chasing. Emo is all about chasing the other side of the spectrum you'll never get.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. That's great. Yeah, all emo girls wants to get an emo guy from a band, and every emo guy wants to get the star cheerleader who doesn't give a crap because she wants the jock.
Yes, and the girl that isn't like into the music all the time, because the ones that don't care about the music aren't the ones that are gonna like leave you for another guy in a band.
Yeah.
So, you know, because like, well, his band's better, so you don't gotta worry about that. So
absolutely. Yeah, no, I definitely I'm really, really into it. So you said I'm just looking at Spotify. Just Friends, your number one played song with 5,900,000 plays, which is awesome, man. How do, like, when you look at that kind of stuff and you see 100,000 plays here, 333 plays, 598 plays, close to six, you know, that's close to 500,000. Like, you created something that has been listened to like over 500,000 times. That's crazy, man.
The crazy thing is, like, for our music, when we put out our first EP, Trials, Miles Away took off, and I think that song is like 420,000 streams.
Yeah,
like that song just started to take off, and that's the one that like really started putting our band up. Then the cool thing about Spotify is like the way its algorithms work is it's really about discovering music and like putting it to people's playlists. And once that one did what it did, like all of our songs started doing well, and I was like, I can't believe it. You know, like it's so surreal to like know that our music's actually being played a lot. And I was like, wow, I don't know why, but I really, really appreciate it. I mean, I put a lot of my heart and soul into those lyrics and like what we write. And we have a who we write with, like our band, we write cohesively and with our producers too. So like we really have a good team that when we're making our music, but it's crazy, man, to see that our music just keeps getting plays. And like Save Myself From Myself, I think it's at like 54, 55K, some shit like that. Like it, that song just came out too.
So yeah.
Really,
that's
really,
it's a good following, man. You like 32,000 monthly listeners. That's no joke. The podcast hits 50 plays, and I'm like, woo, we're coming for you, Rogan. You know what I mean? Like,
I am grateful for anybody that listens to any of our music. Like, at the end of the day, I mean, obviously, it's cool to see it get a lot of plays, but the fact that anybody plays it at all, it means everything here to me, especially. Yeah.
So we do have the live chat. So if people are watching, you can comment in. So over on the YouTube side, which by the way, if you're over on the YouTube side, that subscribe really helps. Please. Thank God. Thank Jesus or whatever your being or guy is. But they say, great seeing these dudes grow. They definitely deserve from all the hard work they put in. So Cody with the love.
Thanks, Cody.
Yeah. So where are you guys located out of? Like, where's the band based out of?
We're based out of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
There you go. Well, there you go. Jesus, that ties right in.
Yeah. Yeah,
he was from Bethlehem, right? Just a little over the ocean, right?
Bethlehem or Nazareth or something. Yeah. Like that.
Now, where do you guys like? I'm not too familiar with the music scene out there because obviously, Pennsylvania is just separated by mountains and thousands of roads. But I do know the Steel Stacks is a cool place. A lot of people like to go see music during the summertime, and the casino. Obviously, you put a bet. You become a casino band up there. They're usually a good time because everyone's drunk and gives a good energy. Where are some venue you guys play up there?
So like as far as this area goes, we have in the past played at One Center Square in Easton. We've played a venue called Reverb in Reading. We played weeks ago in Reading. We actually have a show this Saturday with Escape the Fate and the Red Jumpsuit Apparatus at Artie's Bar and Grill, which is in Frenchtown, New Jersey. So it's not like too far from here. So we'll play like different venues in the area. We've played Sportsman's Cafe, which is in Allentown. That's a smaller venue, but it's pretty cool. Planet Trog in Whitehall. Like there's different places to go. A lot of different venues.
Well, open it up. Are you going to be co-headline or opening for Red Jumpsuit?
We're going to be opening up.
Nice. So coming through all these plays and kind of doing what you're doing and growing how you have, what are some of your favorite locations, you know, in your home stomping ground that's like always has a spot in your heart that you're like, man, I love playing there?
One Center Square was cool. I don't know if we'll be like, I don't know. They don't do a lot of shows. I don't know. That was definitely a cool venue to play. HMAC in Harrisburg.
That's a fun venue. I actually did a podcast a few times in that building.
Oh, really?
I set up back when I had like no equipment and I kind of like put like a thing out like, hey, I'm in Harrisburg. Anyone in the local area who's a musician or, you know, anything, come. And a whole bunch of like different hip hop artists and R&B people came out and but my equipment at the time was awful and it came out terrible, but it was a really cool time to kind of set up in a cool venue like that and just sit and talk to people.
Yeah. HMAC was probably my favorite. We played the, like the upstairs, the big stage, and we played the one that's downstairs too, the stage on her, I think it's called. Yeah. Forgive me if I'm wrong. Love Drafts in Mechanicsburg. That's a cool venue too. We played there. We did a little tour in March, and Love Drafts is one of the venues we hit. And I'd never been there before. And I got there, I was like, this place is sick. Like on the outside, you go in, the stage is huge. I was like, I did not expect this at all. Because it's a brewery, so I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know if it was gonna be like a little thing off on the side of the room or whatever, but it ended up being like a big stage. And that venue.
There is a nice spot in Hazleton called the Humboldt Tap. It's like a craft beer tap house, and they have a giant outdoor stage. It's like literally they bought like a semi truck and then cut half of it out and made it like a stage. Really? Then they have like a giant indoor stage, and I think in the summer we're gonna try to get out there and do some stuff. But I told them, I said, if I ever collaborate and I want to come to a podcast, I want to record early and then kind of like maybe piggyback with a band and then like a band plays later. So if you guys are interested to maybe get some new eyes on you, maybe we could team up.
Hey, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool venue. And like the people really enjoy the music scene as much as they love the beer scene. So I think it'd be a match made in heaven for you guys.
That'd be cool. Like just getting to different areas in the market, just like, you know, especially to new venues too, because that's exposure to new people. Like that's awesome.
Yeah. So what are some of your inspirations that you pull from as a singer or pulling from, like, your writing wise or stuff like that, like some bands or some writers?
So my favorite band when I was younger was 3 Days Grace. That was my favorite. And I always had 1X on repeat when I was in middle school. That one in the self-titled, that was my favorite band. And as I got, like, and then I started, like, I really got into the bands like Breaking Ben and stuff too. Like, that was like my thing to start with. Then I loved Skillet. I loved all those bands. I still do. They're so cool. But then as I got older, like, I still listen to those bands, but I started incorporating like the scene bands too, like your Escape the Fate, Sleeping with Sirens, one of my favorites, Pierce the Veil. And those bands mixed with like the 3 Days Grace, like, I feel like, for how we, like, how I write, like, I'll pull the huge choruses, like 3 Days Grace, certified bangers, like straight up, Skillet to like the huge anthem chorus. But then you pull like that punky emo side of things as well, and you throw them in a blender. And I feel like that's kind of like our music, like pulling from the huge radio rock bands and then like the scene bands too. And like what I listen to now, like, I still love all those bands. I'll listen to 3 Days Grace, then I'll listen to like Lamb of God, and then State Champs, and then like Story So Far. And I just love punk and pop punk and metal and all that stuff. I love it so much.
I'm obsessed right now with the band Ghost.
I was gonna say Ghost.
Oh my God, they're so much fun. I don't like, I'm also a huge pro wrestling fan, and something about a good gimmick, and if people can incorporate out of the music and they have the whole backstory and everything, like,
I think that every band song, sold me. I think every, like, Ghost, they're cool. I like their music, but I think every song sounds like it should be in Scooby-Doo. Like,
yeah. Well, have you heard their new album where they have like 80s workout music and stuff in it? It's like Dance Macabre. I'm like, I fucking love this band.
They're a really cool band, but I just, every time I listen to a song, I just picture the gang from Scooby-Doo taking off, running away from the villains.
So much fun. Now, when you get into the process of writing your music, are you someone who envisions of how it should sound and then put your song to it? Or do you kind of give your music, like everybody else, like that freedom to like, hey, this is the drum track I've been working on, this is the guitar, and then kind of mix it all together? Or are you almost like a ghost where you're like, hey, I kind of think of this guitar riff with this beat, can we like how does that process work for your band?
More recently it's been like all four of us coming together and writing with like who we work with producer wise. By the way, we work with King Studios, and which is in Allentown, Pennsylvania, with Justin Mitchell, because people have asked where we go. So I figured, you know, let's say it, you know, if anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great bangers there too. But when we write, you know, it can be a guitar riff, and then we just bounce it off of that. A synth, Save Myself was Keith pretty much had a very good base of that song and like what it should be. And then, you know, we built up from there. The Low, our song comes out on Friday, that started with a synth. Just a synth that Keith wrote, and then it turned into a whole song. So it can be different things, but like typically what we'll do is we'll make the instrumentals first, and then, you know, that's how like we get the vibe of what we want to write about lyrically. Like, what does a song make you feel? And that's like what the big thing for me is, like when I want to write my lyrics, like what does it make me feel? And then go from there, and like, we always typically have the instrumentals first, and then get things to fit and align for the song.
Now, when you're, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sometimes you might have a vocal melody in your head. Like, I want to work with that. Let's write to that too. So,
yeah. Now, you know, as someone who, like, obviously listening to your lyrics, and you put a lot of personal stuff in your lyrics, do you find that challenging? Especially like, I know for me, like sometimes when I'm talking on the podcast, and even when I first started, it was hard for me to tell personal stories, because you're like, oh, I don't want someone to be like, are you okay? Or like, why would you tell a story like that about me? Like, I'm just trying to translate that. I've never been in a band. I don't know what that process is. But obviously, like, if you go through a bad time, or maybe a friendship breakup, or a girl breakup, or issues with your family, like, and you write about that because it's something you experience and that's your experience. Like, have you ever had backlash, or have you ever had people listen to your stuff and be like, yo, like, what's up with that? Or do you ever feel insecure about putting that kind of stuff out there?
Never felt insecure about it. Our most recent song, we're gonna put out, Low, I sent that, like, you know, to a few like family members or like few close friends, and they're like, "Are you okay?"
Yeah.
Like, that one's the first time I really heard, like, "Are you feeling okay?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." But like, it doesn't ever make me feel insecure to put it out. It actually makes me feel good that it's going to be out there, because when you write and you put your heart and your soul into what you want to say, and then it's out there, it's like you get that off your chest. And the people come up to us and me and say, like, it makes me feel this way. And like, they'll message me online. I'm like, "Oh, thank you so much. Like, I'm glad that you feel some way about the song." So I never feel like, "Oh, I don't know if I should say that. People might look at me differently." And in fact, like, I think people really respect you when you lay it all out on the line.
Absolutely. I've learned over the years of doing that and speaking your problems and being, you know, honest about them. You definitely get those experiences. And I think it's like, me just saying words is one thing on a podcast, but like, I feel like when you put it to a song, to a melody, and someone's like, "Hey man, I listened to that lyric and it helped me through something." Cause I know for me personally, the reason I attach myself to emo music and sad music and punk pop is because it was relatable of what I was going through, but it never also made me sad. It made me almost feel like, even though it could be the saddest song in the world, it's like, I overcame that. Like, I relate to that and I overcame it. And it's almost like the sad song is a sense of accomplishment, not to bring you back to that moment.
For sure. Like, to touch on that, you know, I've never had a song where, even if I write about something that really upset me that happened in my life, I don't listen to it, sit there and just sulk in my sadness and cry and like, "Oh, you know, I'll never get through it because the song just is here forever." Like, no, it's the opposite. You listen to it and you're like, "Okay, good. Like, you felt that way. You wrote it when you felt that way. Now, where do you go in your life after that? And now it's what doors open next for you and like where your life takes you after that." So that's why I really like, even for songs that aren't mine, you know, like other bands I listen to, that you own it at a particular part of your life. And then I feel like that's when the doors can open for you. Where do you go next? Because now you can really relate to something and take that and move forward.
Yeah. What is some of your favorite songs to play when you guys are on stage?
Well, Save Myself from Myself is by far my favorite to play now. It's so fun. The Good Life is always fun to play. Succubus, that song is awesome. So I love the energy for Succubus. That song is so cool to play. Trying to think what other ones. I love playing Change in Plans. We don't really like touch on it sometimes because of like the guest feature part. But our other song, Grenade, is one of my favorite ones to play too.
A lot of these are just like, so if you look them up on Spotify, a lot of these are singles. And then trying to see the latest album is what, Save My, no, that's still a single too. When are you putting them on an album?
Well, that's the name of the game is singles, man. That's why.
Yeah.
You got to drop a song every like 8 to 10 weeks to keep people engaged, because with streaming platforms, you get every song out there for $10 a month. So it's like an overwhelming thing. So you have to get your music in front of people. It's almost like, I don't know how to describe it other than it's like, there's just, it's like going shopping.
Yeah.
You know? And then there's, it's like songs on the wall instead of clothes. And you just,
are you guys also on Bandcamp at all?
Maybe. I don't know.
I personally like Bandcamp, especially when it comes to like, I'm not sure. Are you guys signed or anything? Or are you guys still independent?
We only have a distribution deal that we signed, but we don't have like a record label.
Okay. So like I have a lot of music friends who are on Bandcamp, and some of them are just like, "Hey, pay what you want. Like, if you want to do a dollar, if you want to, like, that's pretty much what it is." And I like, for me, it's like, "Oh, well, here's $20. And then I download your album, that's but cool. It's like a way on that one to like almost have people like circumvent having to do like 10 million plays on Spotify, and they can just like, and you can put your merch page and everything on there. It's a pretty cool app. I personally use it a lot, especially when it comes to like local scene or independent artists.
I haven't met really anybody else that's ever said to me like, "Hey, like, I go on Bandcamp," like, especially for the, like, the music being distributed now differently, instead of independent, like they upload it to all the
platforms. Yeah.
I don't know if Bandcamp's one of the things that gets uploaded to.
Yeah. I just relate with the struggle of, trying to make a buck here and there, or trying to pay for the gas money to go places. So I always try to support the band. Like, you go out, buy a t-shirt, or you go do that, or like, you just do whatever you can to make help, like, or give them a platform to talk. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a grind, and working together is always great.
It's rough, 'cause you look at stream counts of like different artists, or like, you know, you mentioned like, "Oh, you guys have this many plays." I wish I wish it was a dollar a play, man.
Yeah.
Really wish that, but it's not even close.
Yeah.
Way.
You got a guy buying Twitter for $44 billion and still has billions left. How's that? How's like that? What a world we live in, right? But but somebody enjoys your music 500,000 times and you can't even get a fourth of that in revenue. That's sad.
Elon Musk has Bandcamp. I'll totally throw the music up there for $44 billion and see if he
does. Yeah, absolutely. I was just watching a thing where he can literally buy every American sports team from basketball, NBA, hockey, like every team in every sport, and still go overseas and probably get half of the soccer programs and still have money left over.
Dude, I probably couldn't even go to McDonald's and order everything on the menu.
I definitely can't. I mean, I could try to eat it all, but I definitely couldn't afford it.
No, expensive now.
Yeah.
$9.08 for two McDoubles. I was like, huh?
Remember when they were a buck? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we kind of touched on like how you were talking about Ghost and everything, but what are some newer bands out? We'll kind of do a little double question here. Some newer bands that are, I guess, signed or doing well, and then some maybe local bands that you have worked with or some bands from the area that you know. Like, what are some bands that you're listening to now or you would possibly love to work with?
One of my favorite bands, I wish they were bigger than they are, Palisades. They're now. I don't know if you know who that is.
I'm not sure, no.
Check them out, man. They're a really good band. I love Palisades. I think they're from New Jersey, so it's not too far from where we are. I would love to play shows with that band or, like, collaborate in some degree. Like, that would be a dream for me, definitely, with Palisades. I think, like, bands in our area that I really like. I like Eternal Frequency a lot. They're a really cool band. Another Day Dawns is a really cool band area, too.
Crooked I've seen Radio. Them live. Another Day Dawns. I've seen them live at Goodfellas.
Oh, nice. I worked with a band. I did a collab with one of their songs. They're called Crooked Ways. They're from our area too. A song called Chainsaw Grin. So I'm on that song. Like those bands in the area too, like they're absolutely killing it. We've went on tour with a band called Divide the Fall. They're from Minnesota and Wisconsin area. Really sick band. Archers too. We went out with them. Normandy. Set for Tomorrow. Those are my boys too. Like those are really bands like, you know, they're not, I want to say, like, we're not like Data Member big or anything like that, but like we're on the come up, man. Like all the cool bands, I love it.
Walk me through touring with a band from another state. Like, where do you meet? Do you drive together, travel together? Are you guys in one van and they're in the other? How does this process work?
I mean, you're in your own van, and like if you book a tour, you know, the first day of tour is where you meet them typically. And for me, that's always a thing. Like when like we go out, I'm like, I hope that they're cool. Typically,
it's gonna be a long tour if they're fucking awful, right? Not saying that van was, but you're just thinking. You're like, yeah.
That's like my thing is like, because I just want to retain the friendship, and because the coolest thing about this music world is you make friends with people that live other states, other parts of the world. If you're international touring, and you make friendships with people that you never would have met otherwise.
Yeah,
that's why I really hope that they're cool. But you'll meet at the venue, and then like, as far as like traveling, you just kind of go do your own thing.
Like after the show, you're like, "Yo, we're all going to this place. You want to meet up?" And then you guys are at a diner together.
We've done that before. I mean, some bands like they'll sleep in their vehicle, they'll get a hotel, they'll get an Airbnb. So like, you know, as long as you show up to the next place the next time.
Yeah.
Like if there's an off day on a tour, like. That's typically like a cool day to like bond if they're down. If they're not, you know, we'll do our own thing. Haven't ran into that problem yet, though. We usually typically like do something with like bands and stuff. So that's always a fun time.
What is you don't have to say the band if you don't want to. What's a story that you had from the road that like you maybe like you said you had a downtime where you stopped and did something and had a bonding experience with their band? Like what's a cool memory that sticks out?
We went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And with Divide the Fall on one of our tours because it was an off day. So we were like, let's just go there. It was a fun time. Something I never would
have done. It's got to be surreal. Like there's two bands in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, just looking at all the bands that they strive to be one day. Like, you know what I mean? That's a cool experience.
And the coolest thing is too, we didn't know this, but if you're on tour, you get in for free. Unless they changed that rule, but they let us all in for free. We just showed their lanyard. We were like, hey, we're on tour. And they're like, come on in. I was like,
I could be wrong, but I think my one buddy's band played a a song at the Rock, like not like the main stage, but I guess they have like a stage in like a little stage area that they let bands play on. I could be wrong, but I think my buddy's band played a show, like a set there.
That's cool. They I don't know. They had a room that we could go in that had like acoustic guitars and you can just play, and they had like a drum set. We kind of went there, and then the funniest thing was I went in there with two of the guys from Divide the Fall, and then I went in and we covered Wake Up by 3 Days Grace. I sang it and they played the instruments. That was cool to like perform a song with the other band they're on tour with, but we all like the same music. We're all influenced by the same thing. So it was super sick to do that.
Have you ever had a moment where like, we're like, saw of my buddy's band, they toured with Steel Panther, and Steel Panther likes to throw some covers in there. So like, they're like, we're going to do this song. And then like, they brought my buddy out who opened for them and he sang. And then halfway through, they're like, you come play guitar. So they pretty much like let the entire opening band come out with them and play a song. Have you ever had a moment like that where you and another band like, oh, I know this song, you come out during our set and jump in?
We've done that too at Divide the Fall, the last day of the tour. Like they did, their vocals came up and did one of our songs, and I came up and did one with them.
That's sick. So, I love that stuff. I think that's one genre I feel that not enough people collaborate in, and that's like rock music. Like hip hop and R&B, like they're always collaborating and crossing genres and like featuring tracks with other people. And I think that should be done more in rock and roll. And I think it's starting to do more since the pandemic, because a lot of people can just send tracks to each other. And then when they're on tour, they're like, well, if we're going on tour together, let's do a song together that'll be exclusive to the tour or stuff like that. I think it's just really smart.
Yeah, that's cool. Like that you say that, because like a rap album, typically you expect it and you're like, oh, who's going to be on the songs? But not from a band. But then when you see that there's a feature, you're like, oh shit, they got this guy. Like, you know, or they're working with them. Oh my God. So like, yeah, I
think that's a good trend. I think that's something that should happen more in the rock scene.
Yeah.
A local bunch of bands in our area did like a Halloween party where it was like, they played at this one venue, but it was a bunch of bands who like kind of mismatched together. Like, some band members of the band joined in with another member of a band, and they kind of like hodgepodged each other all together. But the whole theme of the show was you had to pick a major band and just do covers the whole night. So like my one buddy's band did like all Weezer. The other one did My Chemical Romance. The other one did Tool. Like, so it was all these other bands like cross pollinating with each other and then doing covers of bands they care about. And then like dressed up like in costumes and played like a Halloween show. And it was like a 2-night show. It was so much fun, but it was cool to see like we always joke around, like, what would be your dream band if you can form a band with, like, no offense, no knock to anyone in your band now, but like, if you can form another band as a side project and mismatch people from the area. And that kind of happened at this show, and it was really cool to see.
That's actually really interesting. That'd be really cool to be a part of that too.
Yeah, it was fun. It was probably one of my favorite shows I've seen locally in School County was that show.
That sounds like a good time.
Yeah, it was sick.
That shows like true musicianship too. Like you're a good musician if you can get up with other people that you don't typically work with but still kill it.
Yeah. Performance. I think there's a strange barrier when it comes to music or artists or even like the podcasting world, or I'm into independent wrestling. Anytime that like or craft beer breweries, every time that people put that limit, like this is what fame is, and then everyone else is here, and then this is people who are successful in it, and they think that everyone on the bottom tier is there for a reason. And it's like, no, it's like, it's because they don't have enough support to get them to that next tier. But there's so much good talent at that level that people are just not giving the attention they deserve to.
No, I agree to that for sure.
Yeah. And you have to like almost piggyback off someone who's on that top tier to get to that level. And I just like, that sucks. You know what I mean? Like, yeah,
it's like you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer. Like, but like I said, it's just, that's where I want, like, I hope we change that culture eventually where people are like the Island Boys get out there and they're making billions. And now people are just like, look who we made famous. And you're like, yeah, it's your fault. Yeah, it's because you gave attention to people who didn't deserve it. And then big companies threw money at them because regardless of they're good or not, people are watching their stuff. You know what I mean? It's just like,
to be honest with you, I think the reason why they're so famous is because their hair is absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like it looks like like Marge Simpson hair or something like that.
I always say it looks like Cynthia from the Rugrats. Remember the doll?
That's what, yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't know how they get the stalactites to look like that in their hair, but, you know,
yeah,
figured
it
out.
It's a commitment. So we'll kind of take a detour here from music. What are some of the things you're passionate about? Like, if you have a break from music and you're not putting your effort into that, what are some things that you like doing?
I don't really do much of any. Sorry, I'm trying to get my laptop charger. I don't really do I don't play sports or anything like that. I mean, like, I did when I was younger. I played soccer, played baseball, all those things. Like, I did that stuff. I mean, I really just enjoy being with my friends and just going out and trying to do anything and, like, be active with people. I just really love to be around the people that I'm close with. Like,
yeah.
If I'm not doing music, that's what I want to do. Or because if I'm, you know, not playing with the band or doing anything like that, I'm just thinking of things to write about and where I'm going to go next and always trying to network and doing things like that. Like, I really try to – not that I'm boring. Don't take it that way. Who doesn't do anything?
I think that's a so like, for example, like what I like for me, my I like video games. I like movies and music. I like veg into like watching a TV show for an hour or two. But what you're saying is something I do as well too, where I'm always like trying to be out in the scene. Like, I'm missing a band tonight in an area because I like to go out there and network and meet new people and experience live music. So you're kind of in that same boat where you're out there just.
Yeah, like, I stuff like that. Like, I've gotten to a point where I feel like if I sit down and I watch a TV show for like 6-7 hours straight, 10 episodes deep, I'm like, what did I do all day? And I trust me, I've been there, like, watching a show for like hours and hours and hours. And not that I love the show, but then I'm like, damn, I didn't do anything today. So it feels like it's unproductive. And I don't like to feel like what I did wasn't productive.
That's a great mindset, man. It's like the 10,000 hour theory, right? Where you have to do something for a certain amount of time to consider yourself a master at it. If you put that time into something else, you could have been putting it into that. So I definitely see where you're coming from.
No, absolutely. I like I just said, I think my ADHD doesn't let me sit down.
Yeah, amen.
What it is, I'm always, I gotta do something to be productive. So.
Nice. So what are some things you guys have in the docket for the future of the band now?
We're just going to really be writing more new music because now that we have our, you know, we have Josh in our band, so we really want to get to writing a lot more music with him and just getting super collaborative as a band. So writing new music and getting out on the road is our main focus. And what we're like, we have some cool shows coming up and really gaining and owning our fan base in our area and just getting out there and doing runs and doing other tours. Like, that's really what our goal is.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is, and I'm going to segue to this, but also I'm going to use this as a clip for later. But if there's any places or venues in School County, like Strikers or Pilgrim or anything, and you want a band from this area, reach out to them, take the name. All the links are going to be below so you can check them out and book them to this area. So, because a lot of the people who listen to this are from the Pottsville, School County area. So it'd be kind of cool to get that exposure out here and get new eyes on your band.
No, absolutely. Thank you so much. We would love to do it. We'd love to play.
Yeah. Do you guys have a tour set up now, or you're kind of just still in that process?
We had one that was going to be announced probably already, but it didn't happen. Unfortunately, some things happened, so like we didn't get it. It didn't come to fruition. But we're working on some things to come in the later months of the year. Hopefully, I mean that's pretty much our goal.
Nice. Well, I is there anything that we missed that you want to cover or that we kind of breezed over?
No, not that I can think of. Like, anything that you want to ask me, like, feel free. I love to be an open book about the things that, you know.
Yeah, I'm trying to. So the thing is, I want to ask more, but I also want to get the full band on. I want to definitely do this again with the full band. So I don't want to dive on things that maybe the full band can tell stories on as well. I definitely really want to cover the band and who you guys are and what you do. One of the people that actually gave me some love on Instagram when I post this was Jay Hunter from iRock Radio.
Yes.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
I love iRock. You guys so much.
They do a great job. I got to guest DJ one time for them, and I got to play some music. And then I helped him out with a show one time in HMAC, actually. It was a Fozzy show. It was Fozzy, Royal Bliss. Oh, boy. I'm going to sound really mean, but the other bands just didn't stick out to me. But Royal Bliss was really cool. They were probably my favorite band of the night.
That's a cool thing. I think I saw them before at Pop Evil, like when I was in like middle school at Croc Rock.
Yeah, they're from Seattle. They're not from around here, but they toured with Fozzy, and they reminded me a lot of my buddy's band Crobot, just like their energy and their funk rock, and I really dug them.
Yeah, they have that vibe.
Yeah, they were dope. I like them a lot. And then Fozzy, I mean, I'm a Jericho fan, so yeah. I kind of gave him a pass, but his band, not really my favorite. I don't go out of my way to listen to too much Fozzy, unless it's his entrance music, right?
Yeah, I mean, no, like, hate or anything like that. I personally don't go out of my way to listen to Fozzy either, but I know that they have a good, strong fan base.
Yeah, pro wrestling fans. That's essentially what it is. But
it's literally.
I've heard worse bands, but they're definitely not my go to. You know.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think some other bands maybe to give some love to. Or I'm just trying to brainstorm here.
Oh, for me, more bands to give love to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like literally. Like I'll say it again. Like that band Palisades is one of my favorites.
And they have to look them up.
Yeah, definitely. They have a new album coming out in July, Reaching Hypercritical. So they have the three singles out right now. I love those songs so much. Like that band is so good.
What's the furthest you guys traveled on the road?
We went out to like Wisconsin, Minnesota, Iowa, areas like that. Like we went out west and everything. So
are you trying to cover all 50 states? Like eventually play in every state?
Yeah, I'll go to Alaska. I don't care.
Yeah, Alaska has a crazy good music scene. Like, and they hire like they get bands to go out there for like 6 months to live and play shows. Like that's I know a bunch of friends who did that for a very long time where they just lived in Alaska for 6 months and all they did was music.
I'll do it. I want to go to Cali and play, and I would love to just visit the state of Maine like so bad.
Boston's a bucket list for me. I want to go to Boston. I want to go to just Massachusetts in general. California, I went there. It's not that great. There's like two roads you can drive on, and everyone has to drive those two roads. So it's just you're always stuck in traffic.
Yeah. A lot of the venues are like Hollywood and stuff too that you play, which is like pretty sick to be out there.
Yeah. Utah, probably not a great rock and roll state, but it was a beautiful state. And Arizona was dope. Like Arizona, I would go there in a heartbeat again. Colorado is pretty sick too. I don't know what their music scene's like, but it's a cool city.
I don't know. I'll find out sooner or later what the music scene is like in all those states. And I'll come here. I'll tell you exactly. Like, they packed the venue, the state, you know, so I'll be able to tell.
When did you get into the, like, hey, I'm going to be the singer of a band or pick up an instrument. What age did it start for you?
When I was 16, one of my best friends ever, the one day she was like, hey, you should sing. And I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And she was like, yeah, you're really good. You should definitely do this. And then as time progressed, like that was what I wanted to do it. I don't know why, but I liked being the vocal because I wanted to say what I had to say. Call me so much, right? But I wanted what I had on my mind to be out there. And I knew the only way that I could really make that happen is if I said it.
So yeah, absolutely. So when did you start your first band? Like what age were you like, I'm jumping into a band?
This one is the only band I've ever had.
Wow. So, and it started in 2018?
I mean, it started, to be honest, in the basement of like 2014.
Yeah. But
2018 was when it really like when the first song came out, because like 2016 is when I started meeting some people to be playing with.
Yeah.
And then time went on. And yeah.
What was your music scene like in high school? Like, was it cool to be the guy in the band, or was it like for me, example, like this cold region town, like if you're not an athlete or you don't play sports, you ain't shit. Like if you're not on the football team or the basketball team, like I don't give a shit. Like singing is not the thing, like unless you're a choir, no one goes out of their way to try to be a musician. And that's something you find later on when you're out of school, because you lose that,
you know,
that barrier.
My high school was very had a lot of different cliques, and if you liked music or you were like in a band, you weren't cool be straight up. My high school it's called Liberty High School in Bethlehem. If you mm-hmm. weren't a preppy kid, you were a loser or whatever. So that's how I always thought. So I couldn't stand any of those popular kids at all. I don't really care. And you will not I'll say it on here. You will not catch me at the 10-year anniversary. No way.
No, yeah. The best is when you see people who are like, they would have shit on you for being in a band or a singer back in the high school, and then they're paying a cover to see your band at a local bar. Yeah. It's like, got them.
Some of those kids that made fun of me in school for liking music would reach out to me and be like, hey, man, like, you know, I really love what you're doing. You're doing such a great job. And I'm like, yeah, thanks, man. But in my head, I'm like, I didn't forget when you made fun of me. So,
yeah.
And just, you know, like for anybody out there, like if you ever tease somebody or something that they love to do, they're not going to forget it. So don't try to.
That'll stick.
It sticks. I'm on here bitching about it. It sticks.
But I also look at the people who picked on me and bullied me and all that as I thank them. I honestly do, because they are the ones who lit the fire. Now, not everyone's the same. I'm not encouraging people to bully and someone to be infamous, because some people don't respond well to that and they do terrible things, like, you know, take their own lives or go into depressions or find outlets that are not healthy. But for me, like, I kind of use a lot of that, you'll never make it, you'll never be this, you'll never be that, to start what I'm doing. And so thank you for lighting that fire for me.
Absolutely. One thing, this I'll never forget this, because you don't forget, my eighth grade yearbook, I know the name of the person, not going to name drop on here, but they wrote in my yearbook when they signed it, because all the kids that signed a yearbook, they wrote, I hope 3 days grace breaks up. And guess what? I have that in my yearbook still, and I know who wrote it, and I didn't forget it. So laugh all you want, but I'm influenced by those bands, and I'm now doing it, and there's people out there that want to come out and watch what we do. And I can't believe that we even see what we see now. It's amazing. So I really thank everybody for doing that. But it's just like, it's cool to know that, like, I stuck with it.
Yeah. You
know, like, I stuck with it 'cause I loved it. And now I'm doing it.
What was the support system like at home with parents? Or I'm assuming, I don't know what your situation is or anything.
My parents are the most supportive people with this. Absolutely. My parents were never the type of people that were like, you should really go to college, you should really stop this band stuff. Like, my parents are the biggest supporters of this, hands down, period. And even everybody else in our band too, like, the parents are always, please.
I think it helps, man. I really do. One of my most talented musician friends, like, his parents are just like, dude, like, do it. You need money for a guitar? I got you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're just always about, and they're always at every show. They're just the most supportive people ever. Like, I don't think there's a time I've ever seen his parents not at one of their shows. It's like, man, that's a cool feeling, man. Like, I definitely think mentally that helps someone in their development process and their confidence to keep going.
It does, you know, like, and what it made me feel like is, if one day when I get, if I get to that point in my life, if I have kids, whatever they want to do activity wise, like I said, I don't play sports, but my kids want to play football, I'll be at every game. I don't care. I will be there. Everything they need, I will be there. You got to be supportive of it. And if you're pushing your kids to, this band thing sucks, you should be a doctor and you really got to go to college, you're never going to be anything, I don't agree with that mentality. You really got to just, you know, I understand what, like, you know, steering them in the right direction. If you realize it's not for you, like, you're really not that good at it. There is that mentality too, but you should really push for them to do what they love and be supportive of that, whether it's sports or music or things like that.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I think if I can go back in the time machine, I would have completely avoided sports. My body's destroyed. I wish I would have picked up an instrument.
And, you know, you did what you loved though. So,
yeah, I mean, did I, or did I just play sports because it was the way to fit in school? You know, it's kind of hard, man. Like, I for a long time, I did sports just to fit in. And then I got to the point where, was it like, who am I doing this for? And that became like my whole identity. And then I had to like refine myself. It was not easy.
Yeah. And honestly, that's why I didn't play them, because I wasn't interested in it. And I knew that, like, are those the kids that people know in school and say hi to, go to the parties or whatever. Yeah, but I don't care. Yeah. I'll do what I want to do. I don't really care. I don't need to be like anybody else. So
I know I kind of asked this question before, but like side projects or anything, do you do like art? Like, are you trying to learn like an instrument, or is there anything besides like maybe graphic design? Like, is there anything else you're branching out and trying to get better at besides your craft of music?
So I want to learn to do other styles of music too. I also work for MVK Music Group. So as an artist manager assistant, so I'm learning the managerial sides of the music business, which is something I want to be involved in too. Just so I can always be acclimated in that scene, regardless if I'm on stage or if I'm on the side of the stage watching my band up there kill it, you know, like that's something I want to do. But I'm also like I have a solo song out under my own name on Spotify called 95 Eclipse. So just putting out some other stuff too. So, you know, I can use that project to touch on like different styles of music is what I want to do.
Yeah. So when I looked at you guys on Spotify, I'm not going to lie. The first thing I went through your things and I seen Dear Maria, Count Me In.
Yeah. And
boy, you guys did a really good cover of that. That was really good.
Thank you. Thank you. We originally did it because I think it was supposed to be like a punk goes hardcore or I don't know. Some like compilation thing, and it like didn't happen. And then we just had the track and I was like, well, I'm going to put it out. Like, we're not just going to sit on it.
Cause dude, I love those Punk Goes CDs. They're so fucking good. I like all of them. Punk Goes Crunk, Punk Goes 90s, Punk Goes 92, Punk Goes
Crunk. Ariana Grande cover we did. That one is
Which one is that?
No Tears Left to Cry.
Oh, that's an Ariana Grande song?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That shows how much I know about Ariana Grande.
Well, that's about the only one that I know.
If you could pick another pop song that you're into that you can cover, what would it be? Like a guilty pleasure song.
I don't know.
Do you have any guilty pleasure bands that you listen to? Like that you like you wouldn't like for me, I kind of secretly like boy bands here and there. Like I'll put a boy band on. You know what I mean? Like,
dude, I'm not embarrassed about anything that I I'll do it. Like I think Post Malone's a sick artist. Like if he comes out new in the future, like the
touch. This is on my chair. It's a beer label. I don't know if you see it, but a brewery made a coffee stout and it was called Roast Malone. And it was right after he got Always Tired tattooed on his face.
If in the future, cause it's probably gonna be like soon, he drops new music. I would be down to cover it at least like, whether it's on Spotify or just like on YouTube or whatever.
I've listened to every one of his albums front to back. I dig him. I kind of want him to branch away and do more rock. Like when he did the Ozzy Osbourne collaboration, I was like, man, can we just get more rock Post Malone? Like, and he did the cover of Hootie and the Blowfish. I was like, that is good. I love it.
That's an awesome song.
Yeah. I played that in a bar during an open mic I was hosting and people were like, who is this?
Is that the one that's the one that's like Pokemon themed, right?
Yeah, it was played at the Pokemon did like this virtual concert and it was all Post Malone songs and then it ended with him doing I Only Want to Be With You.
And people
were like, holy shit, this is good. But I played it at a bar one night and I'm like, this is Post Malone. They're like, I love this guy. Like
I like Pokemon a lot. So I know that he used the Ecruteague City track for that song.
Yeah.
So yeah. Will the Crystal use those?
Over on YouTube, he hung out with us the other night. 6ix9ine, so I don't think it's the actual rapper, but thank you, Tekashi. Yeah. Well, listen, that's pretty much all I got for now. I really look forward to having the full band back. I'm curious of what bands I interviewed that your drummer heard me on. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, when he comes on, we'll have to talk because he mentioned that he was like, oh, I wanted to be on because like I know some of the things that you've done and whatnot. So like,
I truly, truly appreciate that because sometimes I feel like I'm just talking into the void because I don't get a lot of feedback. So like when someone says like, hey, can I come on your show because I listen to a bunch of your stuff? I'm like, I don't even know because sometimes it's just your numbers. Like obviously you have a song that was played 500,000 times and someone comes like, I listened to that song. You're like, wow. Like to me, that's, I'm still not used to processing that where I put the content out, but I'm not really used to people responding to it yet. So it's got to be a dope feeling.
It really is. And I'm sure there's tons of people out there that like it that I'm not aware of and I don't know, and they live in other parts of the world too, because I know that our analytics touch other countries and whatnot. So
yeah, our wrestling podcast was ranked like number 3 in the world and number 3 in this country of Tanzania for like 6 months.
Really?
Yeah, no idea why, but I'll take it.
A lot of our stuff gets streamed in Australia too. Like there, I see
that's a tour you want to do right there.
Sick. I see our music gets played in Australia, because probably because some like playlists and stuff that are out there. But I love to meet the fans out there. I that'd be crazy to be like, wow, you live here and you like what I do and in Pennsylvania. Like,
okay. Dude, the bugs and the reptiles though in Australia would probably scare the shit out of me.
I'm bringing home a lizard if we go there. Not
dude,
a
kangaroos. Can we talk about terrifying those things are?
There was one at a zoo. I went to Nashville and it was laying on the ground and I went to go pet it. And I was like, I want to see what this thing feels like. Pet it?
Shit, like a Brillo pad.
Yeah, like that, or like a sandpapered rug. Like, just did not feel.
Dude, and they're just jacked.
I know.
They're yoked up, man. They're terrifying creatures. Like that, the only like Australia. The reason it's all by itself and there's no connection is because it has the scariest things in the world living on it.
You've seen the video, the dude where like the kangaroo's like messing with a dog. The guy comes up.
It's like choking his dog out.
Yeah, he pops in the face and things like, "You just hit me," and the thing's like, "Nah, I'm out of here."
He's like, "Get in the fucking truck, dog."
I think like, oh hell no! Just huntsman kick that guy would have. Been flat on the ground.
That's a commitment, man, to take a swing at a kangaroo. I don't know if I'd be a
dogs, man. Like that's like I love dogs. I would.
I do too, but I think if like I seen a dude jump in a lake because his dog got snatched up by an alligator.
I would do it.
Who? I love my dog, man. But we're talking about an alligator, bro.
Dude, I beat the shit out of it just like Happy Gilmore does. It elbow it right in the head.
Oh, you come up like Chip missing digits, man.
Oh, that's yeah, like a Chubbs from Happy.
Yeah, Chubbs. Yeah, Chubbs. All right, man. Well, listen, I had an absolute blast talking to you, Tyler. Okay. I apologize to you and the band for the Monday situation. Thank you so much for being understanding, and I really, really look forward. If there's anything that happens on a Monday where somebody can't make it, I will hit up you guys immediately. It might be like a last minute, so. If you can't do it, I understand, but Friday would work great. Maybe we'll do like a special edition Friday episode.
Yeah.
And do that. That'd be a good time. But once again, everyone check the links below and follow the band. Take the name. Like I said, the link tree is below. Go follow them on all social media, follow them on Spotify and show them some love. They're a great time. It's like I said, it's a great mixture of all types of music between, you know, the rock to the emo to everything and the punk pop. It's all there. Yeah, I'm a fan. I'll listen to more, so when I come back, I'll tell you exactly what that song and that lyric was.
Yeah, let me know, because I want to know what song.
I might even send you a message after I listen to more, like, hey, this is the song. Yeah.
You can just add me on Facebook, too, and just send it to me personally. I got to switch back through it. Like, I didn't see the
message. I run 6 podcasts. I know what you're going through.
Yeah, I got to see that one. But, like, if it's to mine, like, I'll see it right away.
Yeah, I'll link in that message my personal account, and you can jump over and send me a friend request. But thank you once again so much. Usually it is tough to get viewers and engagement when I just spring stuff on people. But if you listen to this back later, please, if you're listening on Apple, a review goes a long way. There is reviews on Spotify as well. It's a star review. You can go to our website and write a review. Feedback helps out so much. If there's another band or anything else that you want us to interview or somebody you want me to talk to, send them my way. I love learning about people. I know my style is probably not the most professional, where I don't deep dive and learn about people right away, because I like that natural conversation. I think if I have a list of questions, it kind of just it sounds like it's a force. It's like, I don't know. I'm not into it. It's not my style. But like I said, man, I hope you had a great time, and I really look forward to sitting down with the band.
No, absolutely. We'll definitely plan it in the near future. Let's do it.
Perfect. All right. Well, we'll see you guys soon. Interviews with Everyday People, episode 126. That'll do it. Next Monday, I will have on, let me pull this up real quick. Oh boy, it's a band that I can't pronounce really well. Hootie Blah. The band Hootie Blah will be in studio. So we're going to be at Cabana Entertainment. They will kick off our first interview for May. And then from there, we have a lot of other cool interviews. Like I said, we're booked solid from now till August. So we have a lot of interviews coming your way. If you want to be on the podcast and you're local and you're listening to this right now, tomorrow night, Friday, I will be at the Black Diamond for their autism awareness. They're literally giving me a table in the back of the restaurant and people can come up and we could do an improv two interview and I could rotate people in and out and we'll film some content and it'll be kind of cool to film in a bar and then just come up with a complete stranger and have a conversation. I think it'd be a good time. So if you want to hang out, that opportunity is there. Also, you can come see me this Saturday at Hamburg Fieldhouse in Hamburg, Pennsylvania for the Outbreak Wrestling Show, also an autism awareness show. I'll be doing commentary and you can come hang out and watch some pro wrestling. Tyler, hang out when this is done and I end the stream and I give you a proper goodbye and we'll talk a little bit. But for everybody else, here's some outro music. We'll see you guys next time. See you later.